knowing God's will. For the last couple of days, I mean, me and Teresa, we listen to preaching all the time. We've got an own living room. I mean, we watch movies, you know, and different things. But we listen to a lot of sermons, you know, when we're at the house and different things. And the last couple of days, I've been hearing, I heard two big ministers that's been in it a long time, you know, and they were talking about how that down the line zone, without going into both of their sermons, both of them was about the same thing. You know, one of them 30 years, 40 years, one of them 30 years in ministry, and they boiled it down to people would ask them, how did you do this? And their ministers are just real successful. And I've gleaned off of them for years and years and years, because I'll bring out some scriptures here in a little bit, because the ministries are given an anointing from the Lord on ministers and ministries, and it's for the building up. It's for the edifying. It's for the growing. It's for the developing, you know, spiritually and the will of God. But they boiled it down, and what I got out of it, I'm like, man, I'm amazed. I'm not really amazed, because I can say the same thing that they were saying, you know. But they were like, well, we can't give you a steps how we got here. God would just tell us to go do something. God would just, and we would just do it. And then as we did it, you know, more would come and more enlightenment would come. And here we are all these years later, and they're kind of not shocked, but just amazed at how God used them and where they were at and who they were and how they had nothing and all of that. And I'm saying this for a reason, you know, because, and I'm going to share, I felt like God wanted me to share some of my journey, you know, as well as it is your journey, because He carries everybody the same way. Maybe different how He does it different, but He takes us in the same path of obedience to His will. And once we, how many knows that that's why it's real important for us to know the will of God? Knowing God's will, that's what I'm talking about. Knowing God's will. God's will is not always popular when He begins to reveal His will to us. You know, in other words, sometimes we don't like it, you know, I mean, or something like that. That's our flesh, man. But inwardly here, we have a desire. The Bible says it's Him that works in us both to will and to do of His good pleasure. And I want to say this because the last three or four months, God, over the last couple of years, you know, this woke culture, this wokeism, and all these things that's coming on, I mean, it's to be expected. It's in the Bible. I mean, you can go all the way to Sodom and Gomorrah. This is not something new. This is in the Bible. I mean, you know, it's ungodly rulers and blah, 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 you know. And Ecclesiastes says what has been will be again. And so this is not new to the planet, and it's not new to God. But our generation has really never experienced the fullness of the things that are coming on the earth, coming on the planet through administrations, and I believe anointed by the dark side, administrations and people that get under a demonic anointing, influenced by the demonic and all of that stuff. But God. See, the will of God, knowing the will of God. How many knows it's vital for our lives that we know and continue to follow the will of God for our lives? And I was thinking about, I'm getting ahead of myself, but I was thinking about Nemo. You know, back several years ago, I felt like God wanted me to do a transit, do something with vehicles, and I ended up with a Cadillac and another. The Lord told me to trade my good truck for a truck that was tore up and a Cadillac. The truck needed a rear end in it. Travis had the truck at one time, and it was a beautiful truck, and I mean, really nice jacked up wheels. I mean, really, really nice truck. I wouldn't give you $10 for it. I'm not the jacked up kind of guy. I'm like, keep everything just normal now, you know, so I don't have no trouble. So I really didn't care for it, but I knew the Lord wanted me to do it. Now we're talking about the will of God, see, and so I'm like, man, I don't want to have to put a rear end. Anyhow, make a long story short, I went on, felt like the Lord wanted me to do it. I went on and done it, and I prospered. I put a rear end in that truck, and I prospered from that truck. And I thought, man, I'm gonna drive me a Cadillac around, you know. And at that time, Nemo wasn't faithful on Wednesday night. Every Wednesday, you might see him, and you might not, you know. and hadn't seen him in a while, you know, and God had dealt with me for a couple of weeks to give Nemo that car, don't give the car away. And I'm like, oh, man, I want to drive the Cadillac, you know. And I'm making a point. That's what I'm doing. And so and so I brought, the Lord told me that Wednesday, said, I want you to give him that car tonight. And I said, well, I don't believe this is God because he don't come to church on Wednesday night. Bless God. And then if this is really not the Lord, then if he don't show up, then he's not getting the car. You're only going to get the car where? In church. He didn't tell me, call him up, text him. He told me, go do it at church. See, now, see, that's the will of God. I'm being led by the Holy Spirit. That is the will of God. Now, you know, I'm banking on Nemo not showing up. Because unfaithfulness will cost you a Cadillac. Okay? I hope Facebook's listening right now because this is down to earth. This is real. This is the way God works. Somewhat the way God works. And so he comes, and it's 7 o'clock. And I'm like, he's not coming. He was late. I thought, Jesus, there he comes, man. Of all nights, I didn't want to see Nemo tonight, man. I mean, I just did not want to see him. Of all nights, he's got to come tonight. You know? Now I'm making a point of that. It's funny now, you know. And I thought, but what better thing for me is to be in the will of God, to do the will of God, even though it seems like it's taken from me. I could have sold that Cadillac. You know, I mean, I could have scored more, even blessing. But I believe that God wanted to demonstrate how that when Nemo, or you or me, doing the will of God, demonstrate how the blessings will come on you. They'll come on you. See, knowing the will of God, you need to know where you're supposed to be in church. Because every church, you know, and I mean, and as a, I mean, God wants his, he wants his ministries equipped with the anointing. Equipped with, and that comes at a little price for the one that if you're going to go deeper. Because, I mean, you've got to do some major repenting most of the time. But, I mean, you've got to do some seeking. You've got to do some fasting, some praying. You've got to do some, you know, kind of like, what was your name again? I forgot. Samantha. Kind of like Samantha. I mean, her heart, and all of our hearts should be that if we're going come in the presence of God. We don't want to dump garbage. We don't want to be full of garbage. We want to be full of grace, and we want to be full of truth, and we want to be full because we know that that's God's will. The Bible says, let all of our conversation or conduct become of the gospel, that it will minister grace to the hearer. What do I minister hope to people around us? And we do. And I believe we do. But knowing it's vital in our lives that we know and continue following the will of God for our lives. And the thing about it is, whenever we start out, God don't tell us his full will most of the time. I've never seen anybody that said, well, I'm going to die at 92 years old and God's given me a layout of everything that I'm going to do until 92. No, that would not require us to trust him. That would not require us to have faith in him and confidence that he knows best for us. And I believe that some of the things that I've had to endure and went through on my journey in the will of God, I probably wouldn't have went that route if I had a known that it was going to cost me that, or I was going to have to forgive them, or going to have to, you know, and all of that stuff. But knowing God's will, and I mean multitudes of God's people that I know, they don't even know what the will of God is concerning going to church. You know, I mean, I was raised in a denomination that didn't believe a whole lot of nothing. I mean, they preach sermons on getting saved every week. It's salvation and salvation and salvation. I didn't know there was anything deeper than salvation. But then I'm invited to what they call radical church, which is, it wasn't radical. It was close to the Bible as they could get theirself as a church. as a community, walking in love and walking in the gifts of the Spirit and all of that. Well, God, through Sandy, there she is again, you know, I mean, invited us, and I wasn't going to her Holy Rolling Church, you know. I mean, but Teresa, she wasn't ever churched, and she wasn't ever, really indoctrinated in any way. So she just told me, she said, if you'll go where Sandy goes to church, I'll go to church with you. And I thought, great. Go up there to that Holy Rolling Church. Sandy's weird, man. Well, she wasn't weird. She's just a woman of faith and loved Jesus. And, you know, when the God of this world has got people's minds blinded and hearts blinded, they think that that's weird. Somebody that, you know, walks in love and gives and you know, prays for you and all of that, you know. And so I thought, okay, well, that don't hurt nothing. I ain't going to believe nothing they say anyways. So I said, well, that's fine. Well, we go up there, you know, and I've been used to the hymn books. Nothing wrong. I'm making a point to what I'm saying. It's not just about this story here. See, God knows if we're willing, if we won't want Him, He knows how to get us in the middle of God's will unbeknowing to us that that's what He's doing. But He will shortly after that, it'll be, you know, that this is the will of God. Because, and so we go, you know, and this church is big. I mean, about 150, 250 people, you know, packed out, you know. And man, I had the guitars and the drums, and I'm used to the piano, you know, and the hymn book, so I feel out of place, you know. And a lot of people don't go where God wants them because that's not their type of worship. Y'all better listen to me, you know, and all of y'all up yonder in Facebook land. He didn't say man's going to make a bunch of hymn books and y'all sing out of them. The Bible says, you know, to praise Him on the instruments, praise Him on the stringed, praise Him on the flutes, and praise Him. Let everything that has breath praise Him. And so, I wasn't really, you know, but by the time that the praise and worship was over, I was kind of rocking because it's upbeat music, you know. Now, you know, I'm thinking, they don't know, man. They shouldn't be singing all this stuff this way. They need some hymn books up in here. Well, little did I know, a lot of their music had the hymn books, and they put it on the screen, and I didn't even know none of it was hymn books because my church didn't sing them particular hymns. So see, but what I'm saying is, through all of that trying to get me to find something wrong, why I wasn't going to go back there anymore when I left, Teresa, I enjoyed that, and I said, well, I mean, it wasn't as bad as what I thought, you know, and everything. I said, well, we'll go back. You know, we'll go back. So we ended up, you know, because that was God's will. So the Bible says His peace He gives us, right? Now this head right here ain't going to have that kind of peace. But in here, talking about this in here kind of peace that only comes by the Spirit and not things and not, you know, and people are in wrong churches today because grandma and grandpa goes there. Me and Teresa try not to link ourselves with our mind to Sandy's her aunt and Doris is her daughter, mama, and her granny. We try to separate all that, you know, that they're in the will of God. They're doing the will of God. They're in the place doing God's will. Not got nothing to do with we family. We are family. All of us are family. And it's not kin, like kin family. We're the family of God. And so God does that. The Bible says God knits us together. So y'all, people that don't go to church, I mean, they're sitting at home tonight just like you would not glean off and want that she's got if you wasn't connected to a church. You wouldn't know that exists. You wouldn't, I mean, you can watch it on T.D. Jakes or somebody. They got it in there, but you don't experience that because you're not there connected to that body. You know what I'm saying? And so Satan, and why I'm saying this tonight is because I serve and we serve a faithful God. What I mean by that, you will not sit ignorant as a Christian of the will of God. Now, you can reject it. You can say, I ain't going there. They hurt my... I had ample opportunities in an 8-year period to quit that church. I had people make me mad. I had preachers make me mad. I had a lot of different things took place in that church trying to get me out of the will of God. You better realize that wherever you are, and people listen to me all over the world, not just here, and you better listen here, and I know you are. Whatever you find out the will of God where you're supposed to be at church, then you make the effort to do the will of God. And I mean, I don't care if you ain't got enough gas money, drive anyways. I don't care if you got 15 minutes after work and you ain't got time to drive any, go anyway, go dirty, go slobbery, go whatever, go. Go do, not so that church can see, oh, how faith. No, you serving God. And that and because of that drive to go through all the barriers to get to your church, wherever you're supposed to be at, you endeavor. I mean, put away ball games, put away work. I mean, don't place nothing before the will of God. Whatever the will of God is in our lives, we may have to ask the Lord, help me, God, to do your will, because I mean, this is kind of confusing. This could cost me and all that. All this reading is going to go on up there. Paul could have done it. Jesus could have done it. He even did it in the Garden of Gethsemane. He said, Lord, if there's any way, let your will pass from me. He said. But he said, I come not to do my own will, right? He said, but I come to do the will of him that sent me. So he knew that that was the will of God. Amen. Well, that was Jesus. Well, Paul, same thing. Yeah. On the road to Damascus, he's not Jesus. Right. And he said, go to street. Beautiful, I think. This man, Ananias, he shows up to him. And he said, lay hands on him. Lay hands on him, and I'm going to reveal to him the things that he must suffer for what he's did to the kingdom. Well, that was the will of God. Ananias is scared of Paul, Saul at that time. Ananias is afraid because this man kills Christians. This man, you know, well, here God takes him. Now I'm bringing this out because he was a man. I mean, he was man. We've been chosen by the Lord. The Bible says we know that he works all things together for the good to those that are called according to his plan, his will, his purpose, and we are. If Jesus called you and you gave your heart to him, then you are called according to God's purpose, God's will. And God's will and plan for our life is going to take us on a journey of blessing. You will be blessed following God's will. I don't care what you have to sacrifice, you sacrifice it. The Bible says there are many called. He calls many, but a few chosen. There's a reason why he can only choose a few. They won't lay down the ball games. They won't go to church. They won't get connected. They won't hook up in their heart with the Lord, so they can't hook up with the church. Because if you get down, the first thing after you're born again, God's going to begin to convict them of going to church. Guaranteed. Why? Because it is his will. He says, and then when I get on up and I find that out, then he gives me some stronger doctrine that says, forsake not the assembling. That's a little stronger. That's a little stronger to get my heart committed a little deeper to him. But in that, I mean, I'm trying to figure out a job now. I mean, where the doors are going to cost $60,000. I've never been here. But thank God I got him. I'm in the shower tonight, and I said, thank you, Lord. I said, I praise you, Lord, right now for your wisdom. See how the connection is? Your wisdom. I found out about wisdom in church, that I could have God's wisdom. But God began to take me and Teresa, just like he has you guys, that he started the church here, on a journey in your life and begin to build things and give you different desires. You've got different desires since you started the church. You desire more of the things of God since you started the church. And it ain't got nothing to do with this man. I don't have a clue what y'all supposed to do. I absolutely do not have a clue at what y'all are supposed to be doing. But I know a few things that everybody's supposed to be doing. Going to church. Loving our enemies. Forgiving those that hurt us. The Bible will reveal God's will. And then one time Travis, he sticks up stickers. Bible told me, you know, train up a child in the way he should go, and even when he's old, he won't depart. And somebody come and told me, well, you know, they're going to sow their oats. I said, what Bible you got that out of? My Bible don't say that. Who told you that? Which Bible you reading? Well, the Word of God told me the will of God concerning my teenage that might get rebellious and that might think he knows better than Dad. He thought he did. He still don't. He's 30. I ain't showed him everything. I ain't told him everything. I ain't give him everything because I ain't got everything yet. Right? Well, told that dude, I said, what Bible did you get that out of? Well, that's what my church preaches. I said, you better go help them. I said, they're preaching false doctrine. I said, that gives all of that congregation, well, my kid's going to stray, but God knows he'll come back. I said, that's what you're saying. I said, I can't have no hope in that. I said, what if the world don't let him come back? What if the devil kills him? What if he gets him to kill himself? What if he gets him in prison? I don't want him serving Jesus in prison. And so I found out the will of God in that. And so every church service, you're living in my house, you're going to church. Somebody told me, what about when he gets of age? I said, well, of age is when you leave my house. I said, if he's 30, he's going. I said, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. I said, he don't have to agree. I said, because I know that I love him. I know that I care for him. I know that God loves him. And it's just like Aiden and them. They don't know what they need. They don't know what, I mean, he's coming down the road. I'm 5 years old and I'm driving an excavator. I mean, he don't need an excavator. He would tear my place apart with an excavator, wouldn't he? I mean, you give that boy an excavator up there, a big excavator. Good Lord, he don't know. All he's going to do is dig. He's going to play on that excavator. So, no, he's not going to be turned loose with an excavator. Now, he might be sad. Papa's mean to me and all. No, Papa's not. I'm just making that an example. All he needs to know right now, go to kindergarten. Come to church. It's normal for them to come to church. When they don't come to church, they miss it. I can't go to church. Ain't that good, Mac? Crying because they can't go to church. Most of the young kids, we ain't going to church. We don't want to go to church. We don't want to. Well, we don't have to go. We don't want to make you serve Jesus. You know, that's devilish. You know, no, you're going to church. You're going to come on to the house of the Lord. Engage your heart with Jesus and your life will begin to get easier. I mean, you'll want him. You'll begin to want him. Then he'll begin to open your eyes that there's more to life than your small desires. There's more to life than your immediate feel, the way you feel and all of that. He'll begin to reveal to you a plan that'll bring you into victory, that your life will get better and better and better. I'm the healed of God. I done found out the will of God. And there's times that the enemy comes and attacks, you know, and all of that stuff. And when I get down to how I feel, I think, man, I need to go to the doctor and have that checked out, you know, man. I mean, you know. And then I'll just start praying and fasting and rebuking it. Why? Because I know it's the will of, and I'm connected to y'all. Y'all are the will of God. And so what I realized up there at church, God began to open doors for me. He began to open doors in ministry and jails and streets and all that. Then it was put to the test of what I was going to stay faithful to my church or not. Because all of that anointing that was on that ministry was on me. I wasn't alone. In the spirit realm, I mean, I had the anointing of the ministry that I was submitted to. I had that anointing and I started gaining wisdom and all of that, you know, and didn't even know it. I mean, there were people like, man, you're going to have to open a church, man. You're anointed and blah, blah, blah. You need to come to our church. We need you over here. And I would say, nope, that's not God's will for me. God wants me planted at my church. at my place. That's where God wants me. And one guy told me, he said, well, you know, you're a gift to the body, and I need you over there. And so, you know, God's pleased with that. I said, no, God's not pleased with me meeting your need. God's pleased with me doing the will of God. And God's not pleased with you trying to get me out of the will of God. See, now, he didn't mean to. He's just in desperation, you know, needing that done, because I know what it is to pastor and have to do Sunday school and pastor. That is a challenge. I know what it is to have to do Sunday school, pastor, and go pick up a bunch of kids. 20-something on a bus. Good Lord. Whoo! And so, I mean, but I wouldn't go out there and rally and pull people out of their church, you know, and say, hey, you know, God's got a need over here, and you just come up and meet it. No. I didn't do that. Why? Because I knew that they need to stay in the will of God, and that I'm not going to be responsible to get them out of the will of God, out from under that anointing that they're under. Wherever God has told you to go, that is where you're going to get spiritually fed. There's things that you cannot get, although the Bible says that he's the mediator between, and you know that we all have a connection with God, you know, about salvation, but there's certain things that's not going to take place in your life without connecting to the fivefold ministry. There's certain things you won't get. You can fast and pray. You'll think you see, and you're blind. The Bible says the blind leads the blind. They're going to all quit church. They all fall in a ditch. As a minister, I'm submitted. I am submitted. I'm not a lone ranger. I know biblical principles because of what I did biblical things because of Elijah and Elisha, you know, and all of that. Paul submitting to you know, people submitting. And so I knew it in the Bible. So I'm not a lone ranger out here. Started this church all without a covering. I believe every minister that is a minister of the gospel of the Lord Jesus, which is not theirs, it's not their calling, it is their privilege to preach the gospel, should be submitted to authority somehow. They should be given. They should be planted. So they should be submitted to authority somehow. I went to my pastor and I told him, I said, look, I said, you know, you believe it's the will of God? Yes. And I said, I do too. I said, now I need to come under your authority. I said, I need you to give me some insurance here. I said, because I've seen people go astray and start preaching false doctrine to their people. I said, and these people don't belong to me. Whoever comes, I said, so I need you to promise me that if somebody comes to you and says that I'm getting out of the way in doctrine, I need you to pull my license. And then I've had people, well, I go on the internet and get my own license. You ain't got nothing. You ain't got no anointing. You are calling yourself. And then you're not going to be held accountable to nobody. Because you want to get on your own. You're self-sufficient. You're not self-sufficient. So submitting to that before I come here, submitting to that. I mean, he'd tell me to do things, and I didn't like it, Johnny. People would tell me to do things. Yeah, well, you need to grow up. I wanted to say, you grow up, homie. Why don't you grow up? What do you mean telling me? That's pride, see? And I didn't. See, submission to authority will help you humble yourself to the Lord. It'll help you stay humble to the Lord. And the Bible says, see, all of y'all teenagers, I'm your father in the faith. And when I'm up here preaching and I say something about teenagers, don't just blow it off like God ain't talking to you. Don't just blow it off. When you get out of school, every one of y'all needs a job. Apply. I like to stay on my phone. Blow it up. Burn it. That phone's going to cost you the will of God. Get rid of that phone. Get yourself up. Start planning for your future. Start planning for God to be able to maneuver in your life, working with your own hands. This is not just for the adults. Working with your own hands that you'll have to give to them that need. And your place where you work, now you're in school and all of that stuff, that's fine. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about, but when you know that it's time for you to get up and get busy with life and all that, that's the will of God in you. All these things are going to come up because God wants you at 55 years old like I am, wealthy. And if you start at 18 or 19, when you get out of school, if you start then, I mean, I've taught my son how to save and all that. He goes around talking all the time. Time I'm your age, Dad, I'm not going to work. And I'm like, no, hell, that ain't going to be right either. But he's doing things now, Johnny. You know, I mean, something comes up, the boy ain't broke. Now, it's a time when he wasn't doing what he should be doing, coming to church and all that. And I mean, blow through $1,000 a week, broke on Monday. Something wrong with you. Blowing you, I mean, Satan just robbing you, right? Finally woke up, what was I doing? Acting stupid. That's what you was doing. Just like we all have. We all been there. But see, the Holy Spirit, because we are submitted to church, going to church. Let me tell you something. I'm quoting Deuteronomy 28. Every morning, Johnny, I told my brother, I said, I'll drive one day and you drive one day. I said, you get the scriptures you want and we're going to read it all the way to the first job. And we would pray. I said, and then I'm going to read mine the next day while you're driving. We swapped up driving. So I'm on Deuteronomy 28. If you hearken to the voice of the Lord your God, and I was, I'm going to church, Lord. That's all I knew to do. That's all of the will of God I knew, was just go to church. You know, that's all you need. That's all I knew the will of God was, to go to church. I didn't know nothing about having to love Teresa like I do now. I wasn't ready for that. See, God knows when we're ready for the next level, you know. And so I had an opportunity because I learned in church, you know, that we're supposed to honor our father and mother, okay. And so I'm like, oh, man, my mama, she talks ugly to me and, you know, all that stuff. And she's real carnal at that time, you know, and all that stuff. And I mean, she just mom, you know. And so I thought, I didn't get to honor my dad. See how I'm in the will of God. I'm getting information that's going to bless my life out of church. I'm under that anointed teaching church. All he's doing is reading the Bible. For all he knows, I'm honoring my mama. He don't know. Bradley McDonald and all them teachers don't know nothing. I mean, because I can act all holy in church. Yeah, boy, I got Jesus. Woo. What? WWJD, go out and kill somebody. You know. But see, he don't really, unbeknownst to me, the gift is working in that church that God placed on it and them through Jesus. He ascended on high. Led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Right? The fivefold ministry he gave to us. And so, anyways, I thought, I'm going to honor my mama. And you know, I lived my life out. From that moment till my mama passed, I honored my mama. And it says this is the first command with promise. You know, and I thought, man, God's going to give me stuff. He's going to bless me. And he blessed me. He blessed me in one point to where when my mama passed on, I had not one regret that I didn't do for my mama. Not one. I'm sure I could have done more for her, pampered her a little more and stuff like that. But I set out. See, what happened is once I found out the will of God, here comes when you set out to do. Somebody say set out to do. Here comes the power. Faith begins where the will of God is known. And faith is the power of God to do God's will. Faith is a supernatural force. It's not just a belief for finances, although it works, but it is the power of God to go to the cross. It is the power, the will of God give Jesus the assurance and peace to go to the cross. The will of God sent Paul into prison, into shipwreck, everywhere you go. But he had faith because he knew the will of God. And that faith caused him to say, I don't care if I'm a free man. I am free. Whom the Son has set free is free indeed. The Bible says if we continue in the Word, we are his disciples. He said, and we shall, that's, I don't know where it's at, 1531, 831, something like that. Put that up there, Beth. Then said Jesus to the Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, they had become believers. He said, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. Go ahead, Beth. Okay, and it says, and you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. See, the truth continually frees us because we know God's will. We find God's will. And then freedom is in knowing and doing God's will. And that is why we guard our heart. That is why we guard the Word. That is why I'm sitting in church and I'm reading Deuteronomy 28 every day. And I'm like hearkening to the voice. And the only thing I knew right then that God was telling me to do, whatever he's telling you to do, that's all he requires of you to do. That's it. He don't expect you to do more than what he's telling you to do. What you don't know, you know, he don't expect you to do. But now when he brings it to our attention, it's for our good. It's not for our bad. Because he wants to take us up to another level. So I'm reading that every day, and then here comes Shockey. He is a missionary out of. He had come to the church. See, now here comes one of the gifts that God has placed on a man into the church to bring me, not only me, but to bring me revelation of the Scripture. And I'm glad I didn't lay out because I don't like Shockey because he can't talk English that well. And besides that, I was sitting there and I'm trying to work on not being a racist. And I still ain't complete yet. So a foreigner's going to bring me the Word of God. But despite my ignorance, God has him to come and he's standing up there. There's two things that stuck out to me, that jumped out to me in that whole service because I'm in church now. So on a Wednesday night, and my recollection of that day was I left at 5 o'clock that morning, and it was in the summertime, about like probably it is now, and I toted 3 loads of sheetrock between 6 of us that day, and I barely did get home in time to eat supper. So I really, really looked like April did there for a while. I mean, everybody, I went in, they're like, you tired? And I'm like, what are you, stupid? You can see it. You wouldn't ask me. But you know what? I knew that it was the will of God. See, and I passed by. I went past how I felt, past all of that, and you know, got to go to work the next day at 5. And we loaded up other trucks with sheetrock. And I'm like, man, I need off tonight, man, because I'm going to be busted. Because we don't get home until nearly 10. Because in a rocking church like that and the Holy Ghost moving, the praise and worship, it just seemed like Wade stayed on one verse for an hour. I'm like, God, man, go on to the next verse. I'm going to know how many songs you got up here, but golly bum, keep us here all night. And then Bradley always goes 45 minutes to an hour, you know. And then we got to drive all the way home. So we're 10 o'clock. So all of these are coming, and I'm like, I don't care. God's going to help me. God's going to help me. See, that's what you got to do. Lean on me when you're not strong, when you need a friend, somebody to lean on. Lean on me. Lean on him. I mean, draw from him. That's how you draw strength from the Lord. You just start saying, I don't care what my flesh is saying. I don't care what I feel like. But God, I'm going to do the will of God. I'm going to do the will of God, and Lord, you're going to help me do the will of God. And I'm telling you right now, I'm sitting there, and he's behind that pulpit, and he said, God has been good to Shockey. I mean, when he said that, it was like an arrow shot in my spirit. And I mean, I'm like, whoo! I felt that. I felt something. You know, where was I at? In church. I was in church. It wasn't that we just happenstance having a revival here, whatever it was. No, God set this up. God orchestrates for every Christian that is in His will. You are in the right church. You're hooked to the right ministries. You're hooked up where God says He orchestrates for you divine appointments in word and deed. And I mean, it'll change your life for the rest of. I've never been the same. After He said that, I thought in my heart, I thought, I'm going to say that. I mean, I wanted to say it right then, but I thought when I leave here, I'm going to say, God is good to Scotty. Boy, and I took that up and I run like a hound dog after a rabbit with that. I wouldn't quit saying it. Well, you know, that was good. Then all of a sudden, He picks one of our big, tall deacons. He's about 6'5". He's going to demonstrate Deuteronomy 28. I don't even know what he's doing. But he's on Deuteronomy 28 now. And I'm like, hey, man, I've been reading that for 3 or 4 days. I mean, we've been on this for a week or two or whatever, you know. I mean, I was shocked. I didn't know what I know now. I didn't know that was God saying, I'm fixing to give you revelation in church on Wednesday night and your body's tired and it's going to change your life for the rest of your life. One word from God will change your life. And when you are in the will of God, and I'm going to say this because God's been telling me for about 3 months, He said, I am faithful. And I said, Lord, I know you are. Tell me what you're talking about. I mean, you're faithful. And he said, you know, He said, people say that they just don't know the will of God. He said, no, they're not listening to me. He said, because once you become mine, I'm obligated to get the truth to you. If you don't want to hear it, you can reject it. And then you can't say to me that I didn't know the will of God. So, I mean, God began to renew my mind to that. So I am 100%, settled that, the fact that God will not let one Christian slide by without knowing that He wants you blessed in His will. He wants you healed. He wants you. Now, what you do with that, if you don't get up and do something about that, well, then you can suffer. If you won't go to church, you can suffer. You won't, you know, what if He hadn't showed up? He wouldn't have got that cat. I promise you He wouldn't have got it. I would have just shut my heart off right then to God. Hey, man, He ain't faithful. He ain't getting it. That's the way you do me, Lord. Man, I got to comply with you sometimes, Lord. You know, but what I'm saying is, I probably would have. I mean, it was God's will to get to him. You know, it was kind of like Johnny. Well, I've done it once and twice, but God, man, hey. Trying to wear me out here, you know. Even at that, we go deeper in God, you can't wear us out. I mean, these people around here, they're like, you just won't give up on me, will you? And I said, why would I? Jesus didn't give up on me. Now, used to, I'd be like, hey, man, go to hell if you want to. I told him one time about people around here, I said, let them go to hell if they don't want to come to church. You set the church up down here. You know, they want to discourage me and get me to try to quit. Let them go. Just let them go to hell, Lord. I was wrong, Johnny. Then before you know it, I grow a little bit and get over it and forgive and all that stuff, you know. And now I'm out trying to lasso them again. I tell them all the time. They walk in the streets down here with ministries for curing food. Every now and then I'll say, y'all come on to church. I've been saying it for 20 years. You ain't going to wear me out. Well, the gift don't wear down, see. When you're in the right spirit and all that, well, I'm sitting there. And he gets that deacon up there. He tells him, he said, now, I want you to, I want you to, I don't remember if you said run. He may have, yeah. He said, I want you to run, jump on my back. Run across here and jump on my back. And I thought, uh-oh. Man, he's a big dude, man. You want him to jump on your back? But you know, he got down to that scripture and he read it. And he said, if you'll hearken to the voice of the Lord, all these blessings will come on you and overtake you. And I read that, but I mean, it really didn't mean nothing to me until that moment under the anointing. Under the anointing. I'm reading it all day long, man. I mean, it's not registering to me. It's not registering to me the revelation that is in that scripture. But now, you know, he said that. And when he said that, I'm like, he said, come on, come get me. He took off. I mean, rolled Darryl run across there, jumped on him. He's a little guy like Monty. And I mean, this dude big. And he took him to the ground. And when I'm sitting there and I thought, glory to God, that's what's going to happen to me. These blessings are going to come on me and overtake me that's in Deuteronomy 28. I'm going to be blessed going in, blessed. And I mean, I left out there and I thought, glory to God. I mean, that dude don't know me. That dude knows. See why Facebook land, you're sitting out there, you're listening right now. I mean, see why you need to be in church tonight. I mean, God might tell that pastor or somebody to lay hands on you and you get healed. And what if you don't go? You missed your healing. You missed it. If he didn't go, he missed. There was a preacher, Keith Moore. This guy started to his church. And in a bad way, got his saved, serving the Lord, and going to church and kind of got faithful at church. And one day the Lord told him, he said, I want you to buy him a house. I mean, that's a big chunk. Buy him a house. So he begins to pray about what house he wants him to buy him. And not talking about making payments on him. He told him, buy him a house. Gonna give him a house. God is gonna give him a house. He's in church. And so, you know, Keith goes to pursuing it and all that, and the dude quit the ministry. You know what he missed? A house. I'm telling you. I believe that preacher is to be true just like I do Jesus. I've been knowing his ministry for 30 years. Changed my life for 30 years, that guy. And some people don't think they need the fivefold ministry. We do. We sure do. God will hook you up. He'll hook you up, not just here. Well, you know what? He told that story, and I thought, man. And the Lord said, yeah. He said, and because you stayed at church and committed to me, committed to my will at church, he said, you are where you are. He said, I did things, I built you spiritually there. He said, I helped you to humble yourself to me there. He said, there was things you didn't like, just like some of y'all. I told Monty for 5 years, no. Then he wanted it, then it started trouble. And then Monty's like, get rid of that. I don't know what happened. I'm like, well, I'll let you have it, man, hey. Nothing wrong with that. It's the will of God. What's the will of God? I have to find out the will of God. I'd had troubles in some of that stuff, and God told me, he said, don't. I mean, I wasn't even going to let you have your own guitar up there. That might have kicked you back then. I mean, this dude loves guitars. Brought a new thing, toy tonight. I gave him 4 years ago. Hey, I'm going to try this. And I'm like, oh, God. Are you sure, man? You got to try it tonight? I mean, what am I going to do? I quit, Monty, God. You're always trying something else, Monty. Golly, bum, man, come on. You're trying to wear me. No, you ain't trying to wear me out. You can't wear me out, but God, I'm in Jesus and I'm in his will, and I just endure whatever, praise the Lord. But you know, and I learned from my pastor telling me no. You know, that I can say things to people here because you're in the will of God, as long as I'm not in the flesh and I'm not trying to be a dictator and all that, and you know, and y'all be okay with it. If I feel like it's not if I'm wrong, you know who's going to suffer that? Me. It won't be you. It'll be me. He'll get me for it. Because I'm responsible. Well, see, the will of God is going to take you on a journey that is going to bless your life. I run into a guy that I served the Lord up yonder the other day. His truck was tore up, and he's changing a filter on it. I pulled in there, you know, and I said, hey, man, I said, you need any help? It was Dennis Green's boy. Nah, we're just changing this out right here. And I said, well, how you doing, man? I said, I do miss y'all guys up there, you know, every now and then. I said, but it's kind of hard. I said, y'all my family, you know. And, oh, yeah, Brother Scotty, I'm glad you stopped by, man, talking to me and everything. He said, you know, he said, after Dad died, he said, I kind of stepped out of playing the guitar, you know, and everything, and then, you know, things just kind of didn't feel good on the inside. See, the will of God. He said, so I stepped back in, then I stepped back out, then I stepped back in, and then he said, I said, it's good when you're doing the will of God. I said, that's when you have that inner peace. That's when we enjoy. I said, I'm in the will of God, and I'm enjoying pastoring. I said, I'm enjoying it. I said, I got past all the pressures and learning how to cast it on the Lord and all of that stuff and learning that I'm a gift, and if I'll fast and pray and all of that, you know, and do my part, that God will give me what everybody needs. And I believe He does. I believe He gives just exactly what each one of us needs. You know, just like the Apostle Paul goes in on the road to Damascus and has a conversion, you know, and then God begins to reveal the will of God. I mean, grace came. The teaching of grace came through this man. I mean, it came through him by revelation of the Lord, and he had faith then, and he carried that message. I mean, they go in prison and shake the prisons up. I mean, go in there in the midnight. See, when you're in the will of God and you get in your dungeon, you get in that pit, you get in that seemingly prison, stuck place, hard place, just begin to praise Him, because greater is He that is in you than He. That gift is in you and on you, and that yoke-breaking anointing, you begin to release that, and it shakes the place. It shakes the place that you are. It shakes darkness off. And see, that's where corporate worship comes in. That's where we come in together and you know, and we gleam off of each other like she was talking about, you know, and learn from each other. And, you know, y'all teenagers, don't think y'all know everything. That's not a downgrade. I said, Travis, he don't know as much as me. That don't mean I'm belittling my son. I'm anointed to be over him. Now, he's smart. He's nearly as smart as Beth. I mean, she was a little more advanced when she went and got her GED than where he was at. I'm being funny. But you know, I mean, and if Travis is wise, he'll realize the gift in Daddy. That Daddy ain't that smart without Jesus. Daddy ain't that got it going on without Jesus. Jesus is the center of my life, because without Him, I don't got it going on. And I ain't going to claim to have it going on. But you know, I'm not without Him, and I'm not outside of Him. I'm in Him, and I have, and you have, His wisdom. So if y'all are not going to church, you might as well turn me off if you get tired of hearing it, because you're telling God, I'm not interested in going to church. I don't see the relevance of it. That's where this culture's at right now. They don't see they don't see the need or the input that church gives into their life. So they're in unbelief. Based on the Word, the Bible says, go assemble yourself. Those that are planted in the house of the Lord will flourish in the courts of our God. And I taught Travis by example that you're going to church. Now, when he got out of my house, he had the choice to make. You know, and he made the right choice. He's here tonight, you know, but he could have suffered a lot. He could have been like, I've been in prison all my life, going to church, made go to church, and blah, blah, blah. And I'm sure the enemy tried to pull all that on him. I ain't never got to experience life and blah, blah, blah. And then he sees the world out there, and like we all do, and the world, you know, the world looks like they got it going on. They got their little hot rod cars. Yeah, we'll see where they are in 30 years without Jesus. Don't just look right now. That nice little Mustang, especially the way they're stomping it, it's going down quick. Travis one time told him, boy, you better don't get in the mud and all that. He goes off in the mud, tears transmission up in his four-wheel drive truck. Washes it all up like he ain't been in the mud, you know, and all that stuff. And comes home spinning out and all that, you know. Comes home, transmission door up. Teresa, don't fix it. Let's make him make the money. Let's let him make the money to fix it. Well, you know what? I pulled it out, broke one of his cables and all that stuff, you know, pulled it out, and he had to save the money and everything, had that thing built. You couldn't get him to get off the road in that after he got it fixed for nothing. Because he experienced, you know, that it's going to cost you. It's going to cost you. Let him one time, I thought, well, you know, it's not God's will that He makes a car. So I went to, he wanted this piece of junk up yonder. And I mean, out of flesh. See, you need to pray, young kids. Don't ask for a Lamborghini. Say, God, what's Your will? Whatever Your will is, God, that's what I want to drive. That's what I want to have. And if He says, well, the hood's rusted a little, don't say, I can't drive that to school. Why can't you drive that to school? You got an image of a pretty boy. They think you're a little hot dog coming in there. We know you. Don't try to put on no image. Drive that smokestack. Get all the mosquitoes when you go in. I know Teresa had a little image she had to keep. I carried her some flowers at the ball game one night, and I had on some shorts. It was about that, pants about that much too short. Ain't that what it was?
It was
brother's
green shirt,
yeah.
Pants that was too short.
Yeah.
I thought black basketball shoes.
Yeah, they was clean.
Red and blue striped shirt that your
belly was showing. Yeah, but I was clean, Johnny. And I had some flowers coming with you. She went off ignoring me, man. I'm like, hey, she's my girlfriend. I mean, you know, I ain't got no image. I come up with nothing. I'm glad to have clothes on my back here, man. I thought I was dressed pretty dang good. Hallelujah. Get out of there. And she goes the other way. Mac heard her little bunch of friends over there. So you know what I did? I slammed them on the parking lot. Scattered them flyers all over the parking lot. Jumped in my ride and left. But God, I thought, well, you don't want me. Hey, but I didn't realize what I looked like. Yeah, well, you couldn't see my honey. Yeah, see what I'm talking about? See what I've been through? This was whack before we got married, Mac. And then marriage took me into parachute pants. You ever see them parachute pants? Earrings. Oh, I would be an earring dog if I'd listened to her. I'd have them babies everywhere. I'd have them in my tongue, my nose, my navel, and everything else, I'm sure. And you know what? I mean, Michael Jackson wore them parachute breeches?
MC Hammer.
Yeah, MC Hammer. Well, she's down here in the, you know, come out of the culture. Man, and we rocking, you know. We've been into some drugs and stuff. You know, she wanted me to look cool. So I'm wearing them parachute breeches. I mean, I ain't never wore such in all of my life, man. I mean, you know, them things sticks to your skin, man. They're like when you get damp and sweaty, you know. But I wore them for her, Mac. But you know what? Even back then. See, you might not realize things in your life even without Jesus is the will of God. But she was the will of God. If she wasn't the will of God, I'd have left her there a long time ago. But I knew she's the will of God. The Lord revealed it to me when I'm telling him. I'm like, God, I go lay hands on people and get them healed, man. I'm excited about this. And I go home, and then she thinks I'm laying hands on women. And so I'm getting in dog fights at home after I go preach somewhere, you know, and I'm getting, you know, and all of that stuff, you know. So I'm telling the Lord, I think I married the devil's daughter. I thought, you know, we were lost. Maybe I'm supposed to get rid of her. That's what I was thinking. And the Lord told me, he said, why do you think Satan tried to destroy you before you got saved? He tried to destroy y'all. He tried to separate y'all. He tried. He said, because I got a plan together with y'all. I've got a plan for y'all together. Look at us today. I mean, praise God, she's a very anointed teacher. Some men don't believe in preaching teachers. Women, that's fine. Don't believe. You won't be bothered by it. You can't gleam off of that anointing. But I'm telling you, I know who she is. I know. I know she's got an anointing from the Lord. We're equipped. See what I'm saying? That God's will. You may go through battles in your marriage, and y'all young folk out here, you get married, get ready. Listen to us. You think we're old because it's coming, baby. Travis told me, hey, Rick, I'm getting married. And I said, took my hat off, and I done like that toward him. I said, enjoy the ride. By golly, that's all I said. Enjoy the ride. It ain't long, about 6 months, but God, I mean, he's having to figure out life here, you know. And I told him one day, I said, well, I told you, enjoy the ride. I said, this one of them, it's the ride. Yeah, you don't get to do your own thing anymore. It's not your life by yourself anymore. You got somebody else you took on, you know, to better their life and all of that. Now I'm telling him, buy her a nice vehicle. And he's like, I want a truck. And I'm like, buy her a car. So he had to lay down his truck buying stuff, you know. For the will of God, it was the will of God. Just because I knew the will of God. I want my wife to drive better than me, praise God. And I'm not saying that's everybody. I'm just saying that's me, you know. I used to be real selfish, so I guess that's one of the past God. But you know what? Them blessings come on me and overtook me all these years. all these years, still doing it. I'm trying to figure out a job right now. The doors are going to cost $60,000. I just got it figured up, and I'm like, whoo, hallelujah. I'm going to double that profit. I've never priced a job this big. So I'm like, fear trying to grip me, and I'm like, nope, glory to God, that's not my friend. Fear ain't my friend. And then I'm like, don't price it too high. And I thought, I'm not going to price it by my head because you'll price it too low, idiot. Go by the Lord. Go by the leading of the Holy Spirit. Praise God. And then you have this thought, what if I don't price? What if I don't get it? I told Travis, I started to say something. I said, I'm not going to say that. I'm not going to say what if. I said, well, go get it. I said, and I told the Lord this evening, I said, I'm not trusting in that job. You are the one that gives me the blessing. You are the one that has brought this to my door. You're the one because all these blessings, and you'll be the head, not the tail, and you'll lend and all. You've got to keep believing that all them years. But if you ain't in the will of God, you can read Deuteronomy 28 and you won't get it. You won't get and glean from the revelation of being submitted to the will of God. Whatever you know to be the will of God, that is what you got to be submitting to. You've got to be continually submitting. And then as he reveals more. I mean, they want me to come to India now. It looks like it's inevitable. I mean, I don't really care nothing about flying over the ocean. I mean, there's wars going on over there right now. You know? But you know what? Whatever, I done submitted to the Lord. God, whatever your will is, I'm out of here. I done trained y'all how to start services off and how to minister and preach and, you know, do what you need to do and all of that. Hallelujah. So if I'm out of here, this is going to rock on like I'm not even gone. If I do my job right, I don't have to be here and y'all rock right on. You just rock right on. Now, it'll be new ground to you, praise God. But you know what? That's your next level, that new ground. You just have to step out and believe God. Just believe God to anoint you. And I'm on close, praise the Lord. I held you 5 minutes over. But find out what the will of God is. No matter what people want to put pressure on you to get you out of the will of God, what you know to be the will of God, just don't do it. That's between you and the Lord, and God will empower you to do the will of God. Let's bow our heads.